I'm a big fan of the Stellar Energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black Gary in the building. Drinking the Stella
Live
Artois.
And direct.
Artois. That was my intro, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
I told you Black Gary's coming out today.
I thought you were just getting the energy off. Well, I'm going to follow in because we're live. It's your boy, Sign, a.k.a. the Hood Rich Lizzo Mazimba. NewsRound fans will remember that from back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Coming in hot.
Yo. Oh, God, I missed doing the intros myself. It is AJ, a.k.a. back in HQ, back with my shoes, back with my printer, back with my dual monitor setup. Like,
oh, shit, I only just noticed that.
His back in the Tony Stark headquarters.
I actually get to bust these out. Like these haven't been worn because
you're gonna wear them to take the bins out. Stunt on the neighbors.
Yeah. Yo, how heartbroken is everyone who didn't cop the Jordan 1s that came out last week? I am.
All the new Jordan fans. That's what I'm gonna call them respectfully. Jordan fans who lengthened queues for Mando. I was trying to buy something else.
If you could see the attires that I've been wearing, these fit should not be going together. I got the Yeezy slides on with like 3/4 trackies that are burgundy. It's just
the right energy.
Still mad. It's lockdown. There's
no
rules.
I'm proud of this energy. There are no rules. What have I been doing in lockdown? Listening to music. Barbecue on the regular. Week 3 was fruit and vegetable week. Barbecue pineapple. We're out here.
I made my own hot sauce the other day. With pineapple in.
Okay. I appreciate that.
It was good. A lot of love went into it.
Oh, we got time. We're so cultured nowadays. Bro, when the streets open again, we're going to regress to Hennessy and surcharge Ubers.
I'm still banned from Uber, so let's not talk about that. Yeah, I'm banned.
What did you do, bro?
Banned for life. I can't talk about it online.
Don't implicate yourself. Snitches out here. So, AJ, what non-rap music have you been listening to?
Good question. I have been listening to a shitload of the new Jerry Cinnamon album.
Who?
That sounds very white.
He's a Scottish, I guess you'd call it like folk.
Scottish folk. Wow.
Yeah, like, but yo, like, I've been a fan of Jerry Cinnamon for a while. And then his album come out. And yeah, all right, I get to be this guy. But I was a fan of him before his album went number one, and his album's currently number one.
Got lots of echo in here today. Can you fix the audio?
Are you getting echo?
No. Chef Lowry says we're getting a lot of echo in there today.
Chef Lowry says we're getting a lot of echo. What's happening, bro?
Anyone with a last name Cinnamon has to be Scottish. I imagine he's got red hair as well.
Yeah, or a stripper.
Wow. I think that's first name Cinnamon.
Maybe they're moving like Cher. Maybe it's just one name.
God damn. What else?
Anything else you've been listening to while we fix audio? So I shared this before the air, actually. Partisan Fontaine. Wrong with me. As I was trying to say things that are not implicating, but hell of a song. Good old Tidal playlists, waiting for the sponsorship. I was bored of listening to the same albums because everyone finds themselves doing that. They just play the same 4 albums on repeat. And when you have to sit with yourself for 24 hours in a day, or sit with your music for 24 hours in a day, you realize that the same 4 albums don't cut it. Played a playlist, saw what's new, and it played just one song. And I found myself listening whenever I can to the projects that exist. So that's my music.
Back.
I'm hitting recommendations
deal
straight
with
away.
With a KFC related issue.
A KFC
this
related
guy.
Issue. Wow.
This guy.
care. You know Uber delivery guys outside knocking.
Yeah. His chicken's getting left on the floor and all sorts.
Props to this guy. Oh, imagine how rude that would be. I would be talk to the manager, Karen. If I came outside and my KFC bucket was on the step. Yeah,
it's social distancing delivery, isn't it?
I've got questions about
delivery drivers are out here doing knock door run.
Oh, that's real. I bet Hermes delivery drivers, them guys who don't care about your parcel at all, are like, oh, we've been on this.
Yo, there's
they'll
a running,
drop kick your parcel like a rugby ball.
There's legit a running joke around where I live that there's like a Hermes delivery driver that literally everyone is missing deliveries. Like
still
for weeks, every single day, there's like, oh yeah, notification, it's been delivered. It doesn't say what address it's been delivered to. It's just the same guy delivering every week.
He's just posted up at the top of the street. Oh, this guy.
No, that's not food. Don't worry.
Okay.
I promised the family that I'd get us KFC, but then I went on to order it. I was going to order it during this whole thing and
yeah,
it would all be fine. But then I went on to order it and it was offline. So they're not delivering. So I had to go down and break the bad news that we're not having KFC.
Oh, strong AJ, just trying to provide for the family, just trying to be that guy.
Do you know what you should do? You should go make your own fried chicken, because that's what I
tried
did today.
Oh, oh, actually,
that's what I did today.
Friday.
The energy, AJ. Please, can you run us through? Because I feel like the world needs to hear how you went about making your own fried chicken.
All right. So for a start, I was working with what I had.
Okay.
You know this. You know when you have to start when you start a story with that, then it is going to go terribly wrong.
Which wasn't full pieces of chicken. Like I didn't have a whole chicken. So I was working with like chicken mini fillets, like the kind of thing that I used to like chop up and put in fajitas.
That's acceptable.
So that was what I was with, and I feel like working with full chicken, I may have had different results. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I was trying to make Nashville hot chicken.
Let's go.
That was the vibe I was going for. So what happened? What did we do? You make the wet mixture. You make your it's basically flour, isn't it? It's basically just flour. And then you put a little tiny bit of the wet mixture in, so it gets a little bit clumpy, so you get those crispy bits. And then you double dip it, and then you whack it in the fryer. Well, the pan with the lard and the oil. I overdid the first one, so they were a little bit burnt. The second ones were fine. As far as fried chicken goes, it was like bang average. I was more disappointed in my glaze because it wasn't a glaze really. It was just like spicy water.
Can I ask you one question?
Go on.
Throughout this whole process, I didn't hear you say you washed your chicken. Please tell me you washed the chicken.
I had a different
Wait,
question.
What, you wash the chicken?
Yeah, you wash your chicken.
Well, that wasn't in the instructions.
It's in life instructions.
This is the manual that comes with being born in.
Where you like cover them in salt and pepper and then leave them in the fridge for like 5 hours. I did that.
I respect that, but still wash your
chicken. I've got a further question.
Was it? You see, when you live in a black household, that's what happens. Someone might just shout or telling you to wash your chicken.
I've got a further question. What else was in the flour?
What else was in the flour? I can't remember. Salt. And a little bit of cayenne pepper.
Right.
Just for a little bit of spice.
Okay.
But then the sauce was supposed to have like, it was supposed to be like a glaze, you know, like a thick, like kind of viscousy kind of glaze that you took fried chicken, you just like drowned it in it afterwards. And then it's like nice spicy fried chicken. That was the vision. I will give it another go because I want some really good Nashville hot chicken. The inspiration was this picture. Like,
can you stream it live for us?
Yeah, I'm gonna hold it up to the camera. Oh, stream live my next attempt at making fried chicken. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. AJ Cooks. Live.
I hope everyone's happy with the new format of Same 12 Notes. The Same 12 Notes cooking show.
Yeah. Music's dead anyway.
Yeah. Do you know what though?
Like, look at that and tell me that doesn't look incredible.
Why does it look like cornflakes?
Yeah.
It's just very crispy and it looks dangerous. Like, if it looks like it's going to hurt you, that's how spicy it looks.
All right, go on.
I respect the fact that he's having to wear gloves while he's holding it.
It's a sign of a professional.
Also, what you thought was food isn't food. It's really nerdy stuff. It's parts for my 3D printer.
Ah, okay, of course.
Stepper motor drivers.
Oh, such a nerd. By the way, has anyone listened to the Toxic Masculinity King that is Future's new album?
I haven't, because I've been creating a mix that's going to be sponsored by Hennessy and Bad Decisions that's hopefully coming out today.
We're ready for it.
We're just waiting for it to export.
Producer Jess is in the comments correcting my food. I followed. I can't remember what I did.
He's sweating now.
I followed the instructions from Binging with Babish.
Okay.
If everyone knows Binging with Babish, she's got like a little show called Basics with Babish, and I've followed the one for Nashville Hot Chicken. My results definitely varied.
Yeah. All right. We're here to watch live next time that happens.
I feel like what you did was, you know when you buy something off eBay and you get like, you order like a desk chair and it comes as like a miniature desk chair?
Yeah. Like this at the camera.
I feel like it was one of them. But yeah, so I've not really this week been listening to, I'm gonna say hip hop in like a general term.
Have you been like AJ? Have you been listening to country music?
No. I've been missing the clubs. So I've been looking at a lot of club music. I ended up finding myself listening to some like hard techno, which is mag strange, but
you are going through it.
I was in the house dancing, just getting it in. But I don't know. It inspired me because it was like a hard kind of techno remix of what's the Mercy song? Who's Mercy by?
What is her name?
Yeah,
sorry. We're thinking of two completely different songs. You're thinking of the Good Music song, Mercy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you thinking the other? Were we thinking of three different songs?
I was thinking of the lady who sings Mercy.
Oh, but you know what I did listen to this week, and it absolutely spun me out. Does anyone remember that Joanna Lucas made that song Will Smith?
We talked about it.
Has
anyone heard Will Smith jumped on the remix?
Wow.
So I saw this and I could not bring myself to press play.
If you've ever wondered what would Will Smith sound like flowing on trap with positive vibes, go and listen to it. I think he comes with the Migos, na 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 na, and he's like, I kissed Jada, na 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 na. it's
that music is not made for positivity.
Nah, it's like I kiss my baby on the head. it's just a big hot mess.
Oh, that's sad. Like Joanna Lucas is one of those people who I know Chef Lowry is a fan of his, and Chef Lowry will come at me with the pause ready for the slander I may say. But I feel like Joanna Lucas may get slept on his entire career. Because it feels like everything he does comes off as cheesy.
Yeah, this came off super, super cheesy.
Yeah, like everything, even though sometimes it's super serious. The whole killing Nipsey, I wish it was all of these other people instead. I was like, oh, that's deep. Comes off real cheesy. And then when I saw like, oh, he did the Will Smith thing, and I was like, of course. Video looks real clever. Didn't watch anything more than the 1 minute snippet on Instagram. Not to be rude. And then I was like, oh, Will Smith on a Joanna Lucas song? Cool. That's just a triple cheese sandwich.
The video was great, in my most humble of opinions. I really enjoyed the video. There was some like... It was like a one-take vibe, and it was moving through, and he kept changing into different Will Smith costumes. Like, he started in the Fresh Prince, ended up... Like, he did the whole dog for I Am Legend. He did Men in Black. He did...
Yeah, look, the video was well thought out. It's just you can't get away from the fact that the whole concept was just cheesy. And then the remix, for me, it just ain't it. Like, I think Will Smith even says something like, shout out to Joyner for calling me his idol or something like that. And then he starts listing off who his idols were. And so it's...
So yeah.
It just felt like it was... It felt like it was very forced compliments throughout the whole song.
Wow.
I feel like that's what it would come off as from a song like that. Because when was the last time we heard Will Smith rap? When he was rapping in Spanish on Jaden's remix.
Yeah. Wow. If anyone does,
he's a girl, but...
if anyone does want to hear some really good music though, since as the sun is shining and the weather's nice, Zed Biasing Children of Zeus put out a new song called Friend.
Yes.
That's been on repeat. That's a big vibe.
That's where have I heard that? Is it on one of those weekly new music playlists that the streaming services pitch to us? I think it is.
Potentially. But I've not been. This came through in my inbox.
Okay.
But I've not actually. I don't think I've opened Tidal in about a week and a half.
That's mad.
I've been on SoundCloud. I've been getting the
B-sides. Getting the B-sides.
Yeah.
Last time I was on SoundCloud, I was listening to Chris Brown and Young Thug. It's been a week of a lot of toxic music for me, as you may be able to tell.
Do you know what mine's been? Yeah, mine's been the complete opposite. And do you know what it is? I know I can pinpoint the moment where everything changed.
Go on.
Last week, Saturday, 1 a.m. when I watched Jill Scott versus Erykah Badu. That's when it changed.
Wow.
That's when everything changed. Since that moment, I've just not gone back to listen to any trap or anything. that felt like my soul was cleansed.
You went to church listening to
went to church on Sunday. So since then, it's just been... I've been listening to lots of Soul Action.
Strong.
Snow Allegra.
You've been out here.
Yeah, we've been out here walking around topless, barefoot. Yeah. Incense in the house. It's been strong. A madness.
So, yeah, Future managed to go gold as soon as the album dropped because of the classic Drake move. I'm trying to think who else actually released music. I've learned that, you know, if I'm not being recommended music or hearing it in the street, I'm listening to the same three things.
That Chris Brown and Young Thug
thing. I get recommended music and I hear music in the street and I still listen to the same three things.
The Chris Brown and Young Thug thing that we talked about before when it got released on SoundCloud. That was really weird because it seems like they almost did it, released it on SoundCloud as like a tester. See, like, oh, okay, do people fuck with this? Yeah, it's got good numbers. Okay, let's put it on streaming services.
And I think that really confused me.
And I think it's done like 128K in the first week or something, considering that this was like put on streaming services a week after SoundCloud, which SoundCloud's got millions of plays on. So that really confused me. I don't understand the whole aspect of why.
Both of these artists will always pull numbers. So I feel like if they promoted this in any way at all...
Well, they are now promoting it.
That's what I mean. It makes no sense that like they just dropped it randomly and you found it if you were scrolling or you happened to follow one of them. And then... all of a sudden now they're both posting it. It's in all the streams and all of those places. It doesn't make any sense to me. What else have I listened to this week that is in? Let me have a goose. I'm literally looking through Tidal now. Because
Chef says it wasn't random. It wasn't a random drop.
What was it then? Educate us, Chef.
Oh, okay. They put it out on SoundCloud because Breezy wanted to put it out on his birthday.
Okay.
From last week, we were talking about that, and we were just like, oh, this came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Chef Larry with his ear to the streets.
Found its way to the other DSPs since then.
Say that again.
We're talking about... my brain went for a moment, and I lost like the last 5 minutes. We're talking about... Chris Brown, Young Thug, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's found its way onto the regular DSPs when we were talking about...
I'm finished with this guy.
Welcome to a conversation with AJ.
I
don't know. Welcome to Same 12 Notes podcast.
I lost, like, the last 5 minutes of my memory. I was like, I think I know what's going on.
You really waited for the standby to reset there.
Bro.
There was no internet lag, people who were watching. That was just the conversation.
Yeah, that was amazing. A million whole miles away.
So speaking of... go on.
I was going to say, educate me on the Future album, because I've not listened to it, but I did see that it went gold in 30 minutes.
So it went gold already. The 30 minutes was just the admin time of using all the streaming numbers from Life is Good and then doing a copy and paste into his new album.
Oh, okay.
So, so the classic Drake move. As soon as it came out, I was like, let me press play. Future has been on maybe one of the most underrated runs, including putting his old mixtapes onto DSPs again. Mm. Like, the way he's done that and the way he's just kept consistent, Future might be like a new type of consistent, because if we're not getting new Future, we're getting old Future again. And old Future is like holy grail to toxic music. So the fact that he's just like, he'll give us old mixtapes, he'll give us new albums and just sprinkle them in and out. So High Off Life dropped. He literally just tweeted as like, High Off Life, Friday 14th, whatever the date on that, whatever that date was. I don't even know if it was actually. Yeah, it was. Whatever date this album dropped. Travis Scott feature, that song's, I think, already flying up the charts. That song, I think, is gold on its own. Weird things are happening. Song with Young Thug, Harlem Shake. Lil Uzi Vert, not a big fan of. Mm. The album is a classic Future, 21 songs long. Wow. An hour and 10 minutes. And in all honesty, don't think Future misses that much. Apart from the stuff that you feel like he had to do. Lil Uzi, who I don't understand, but is appearing more and more now. Like, yeah, he did that whole, like, not dropping any music for years, and now he's everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like he's leading up to something that I really don't want. So
that's a great description.
Literally, like, when I'm looking at it on like the basis of what he's been putting out recently, I don't want to hear anything new from him.
I agree with that, but he's everywhere. Future tried to use him as like a little hook.
Talking on gold, like things going gold though. Did anyone see that this week J. Cole? Every single song from J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only album, every single song on there is gold or above now.
Yes.
That's impressive.
At least gold, most of them multiple times, which is just nuts.
Which I'm surprised as well. I saw in the follow-up to that, that not many artists have done it, and Drake's one of the people that has never done it.
Really?
So,
yeah, Drake's never had... and every song go gold or above in an album.
That really surprises me.
That doesn't surprise me, because Drake throws so much at the wall and not everything sticks. If you can flick through a Drake album now, there'll be a lot of songs that you haven't heard since the last time you went through that album. J. Cole has that fan base that play his album back to front to back to front.
Yeah, but I'm like, even going back to like Take Care and things like that, I thought that like at least some of like his earlier catalogue might have done that.
No. Is it weird that I believe that Drake fans now were not old Drake fans and wouldn't go back?
Wait, explain that?
So I think people who are fans of Drake now,
yeah,
like Trap Drake, North Face Gloves Drake,
I think it's generational.
And not going back and listening to Drake and Alicia Keys.
I think it's generational. I think...
I guess it depends when you came into it.
If you're 18 or younger, I'm assuming you're probably not going back to listen to that kind of Drake, because that's just not what you know him for. He wasn't really making... Drake was making R&B. Like,
proper, yeah, like comeback R&B. Season Drake.
Yeah. I can't imagine like a kid that loves Heady One is going to... be wanting to go and listen to an Alicia Keys feature.
I think, to be fair, like there's got to be a thing of if you discover an artist, like I'm not saying anyone's just discovering Drake, but like if you you have to really, really, really like an artist the first time you sort of get into them to then go back and explore the back catalogue. I very rarely do that for someone that I've heard for the first time. Like, I'll catch something new, I'll be like, oh, this is pretty good. And then if I listen to the album and I really enjoy it, then I'll go back and check out a back catalogue. And that usually only happens if it's someone that I've never heard of before. Like, there'd be a lot of people that have caught the last few Drake albums and they're just like, yeah, I'm a Drake fan, yeah, so like everyone else is a Drake fan. And then they're not going back and listening to old Drake.
Fun fact on Drake as well. Has anyone seen the fuckeries this week?
Exactly what you're gonna say. Oh, it's been entertaining.
So Drake,
Drake got
beat using the Drake cheat code on himself.
Oh, you were talking about this. Yeah, explain this to me because I have no idea what you're talking about.
So it's not strictly the Drake cheat code, but go ahead.
I know what you're talking about when you talk about the Drake cheat code. Like,
yeah,
what we're talking about.
So basically, what makes it? I'm going to start with painting the picture as well.
Drake,
in the last 10 years, every single Drake album has debuted at number one.
Yeah.
So for 9 years straight, this is the 10th year that his album's dropped, and it's not. So imagine how vexed he's going to be from
hit
that.
Hit number two.
And it got beat by, I believe the guy makes like country music or something. I saw him with a straw hat on, probably chewing tobacco, looking all country.
Wow. a guy called Kenny Chesney.
That's the one, Kenny Chesney.
That does sound white.
So he beat Drake.
Sounds ginger.
He beat Drake by doing probably, I actually think it's a disgusting move, to be honest.
So it's a move that we have witnessed before.
No, I don't think it, not like this, because this is playing into the factor that we have a global pandemic going on and that everything's getting shut down in the entertainment industry. Basically, did like an album bundle so that if you bought like a ticket to his concert and the album, you got it at like a discounted price or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get onto this later, but is this the same thing that fucking was talking about?
No, it's slightly different.
Ariana Grande.
No, it's slightly different.
Slightly different.
All right, well,
this is definitely what Nicki Minaj tried to do.
Yeah. So what's his name? Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney did a bundle for concerts that ain't existing.
Yeah, he basically was like, all right, cool. You buy this. Let's just make, I don't know what the numbers were, but say hypothetically, concert ticket and the album, $100.
Yeah.
That all went towards his streaming. And then, was it on Friday morning?
That was a one album sale, though.
Wow. So, I've just found the numbers. So, Kenny Chesney did a bundle that single-handedly won him this battle. Drake did 201 streaming equivalents. 201K. Which is, imagine not going number one when you do 201K in your first week. That's mad. Drake's approaching numbers of like the old physical sales of the early 2000s.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people streaming.
Kenny Chesney did 10.5k.
What?
Yeah.
That's how the bundle works in his favor.
So like he basically bundled in the concert that was supposed that he basically like made this concert up. It was like, yeah, cool, we're gonna do this concert. Mm-hmm. Buy tickets for the concert with the album, you get it at like a discounted price or whatever. And then was it on Friday, just after the numbers had been counted, he went, oh yeah, by the way, this tour's not gonna be happening. He was like, but you're not getting a refund. We may look at putting
postponed
it on at some time in 2021, but at the moment we're not gonna give you a date. He had no intentions of putting this on. He just did it for the streams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's so bad. The fact that...
what's his trophy here? Because you see that... Like,
he got a number one.
Number one album.
All right, yeah, he got a number one album.
Still it's empty, though.
That's what I mean. It's like if I do a race against Usain Bolt, but I kick him in the shin right before we take off. Like, I don't get to say I'm faster than Usain Bolt.
It still goes down in history.
Exactly. You catch the win.
If you look back at it in, 10 years' time, people may not remember the small factors of how we got there, but he can be like, I had a number one.
Exactly. He's going to be telling people in a bar in 3 years he had a number one album. He's
walking around now for years talking about that one time he had a number one.
Exactly.
It's like when England won the World Cup.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's not...
Rude.
Fuck you, guy.
But it's... Yeah, so that was just all wild. But my
Billboard have been roasted this week.
My question on this is that if the tour, I know that because we've seen it with like loads of festivals as well, where they're saying that it's postponed and not cancelled.
Yeah, Afro Nation.
Yeah, Rolling Loud. It's all peak. But so like, if people want a refund on the album because they're like, oh, okay, well, the concert's not happening, does his numbers then get deducted?
I doubt it.
No.
You can't retroactively take a number one away. Like, once
how? Yeah. This week has brought about a lot of discussion whether Billboard should be able to retroactively adjust numbers. And I hate that this, such a positive argument was brought or backed up by... No, Drake's... I'm all right with Drake bringing it because Drake brought numbers. Drake brought big numbers to the top.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. The fact that a bag of Skittles from the Upside Down managed to tear Billboard again. But we'll get onto that. But yeah, the fact that we're seeing a change in the way we saw music streaming services and whatnot change because of people like Drake, I think we're now going to see a change in Billboard and what number one albums are.
I think that they need to change it. I think it should be that...
Yeah, the bundle shouldn't count.
Your bundles can't count. I mean, I kind of understand merch bundles, but...
Yeah.
I think that when you're... Especially if you're charging, say, look at a Drake concert ticket, for example, it's like £150, £200. That's equating to a lot extra on your streams. I feel like merch, like a little $50
like
hoodie or something.
It should almost be as simple as they can possibly make it, which is this many streams equals one physical sale. Like, it shouldn't be any more complicated than that, because otherwise it leaves it being played.
The music industry is too... It's too fickle stay so simple.
Speaking of being played,
did
everyone see how Doja Cat played... The internet.
She didn't play the internet, she played the perverts.
That is true, she did do that. Everyone on the internet. Like,
she fully played pervy Instagram.
So for everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, which should be none of you because it's hilarious and it's been everywhere.
I don't know.
Oh, sit down. Doja Cat's hilarious.
Sit down. So Doja Cat tweeted, and I can't remember what date it was. Hold on, let me find it. Basically, I'm not gonna find it. Saying if Say So goes to number one, I'll show my boobs real hard.
Okay.
And then naturally, of course, everyone was like, "Make it number one!" It was like Rage Against the Machine in like 2009, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. And then Doja Cat did a video that was just like. I'm not gonna show my boobs real hard.
Yeah, she was like, thanks for the number one, homies. I ain't gonna show my boobs real hard.
Let me see.
Love that.
Being like, yeah, no.
It was hilarious. It was so funny. But one, props to Doja Cat for trolling the perverts of the internet into getting her a number one.
Oh yeah, she absolutely smashed it.
And Nicki Minaj's first number one.
Oh, was that Nicki Minaj's number one?
Sounds wild. Nicki Minaj has never just gone number one. In like 193 chart entries. Google it. Nicki Minaj has never gone to number one in...
With a single?
Bruh, my brain did not understand it until I had to read stats. Nicki Minaj has hit 193 times on the charts. And
even when she did like shit like Super Bass and that?
Bruh. Super Bass, Starships, all of that pink shit.
Oh, wow.
Here we go. This video sums it up absolutely spectacularly. Hold on, I sent this to someone the other day. But, Simon, did I not send it to you?
Yes, you did, actually. That's why I watched it.
How many days ago was this? No, I don't think I did.
I don't know where it was. It was on the live, and if anyone doesn't watch Doja Cat at all, you need to follow Doja Cat to watch her lives, because she's actually hilarious. I wasn't a fan of hers until I watched her lives.
Talking on lives, and this is one that I know that people have wanted us to bring back the battles, and this was one of the battles that I feel like I can't call this one. It's happening tonight. I'm versus Nelly versus Ludacris.
Nelly versus, oh wow.
Nelly versus Luda.
Off bat, I'm going Ludacris because I'm a huge Ludacris fan.
Nelly's got hits though.
You never forget DTP Ludacris, Disturbing the Peace Ludacris, Word of Mouth Ludacris. Ludacris.
The thing is as well, I saw something the other day where they were saying, I think it was Nelly actually that was saying, I think this is where the battle may have come from, because he was saying that if he wasn't living out in country and he was in New York, he would have been King of New York.
That's a
big statement.
Based on the tracks that he put out at that time period, he reckons that he would have been I can't see him out barring people like Jadakiss or anyone like that.
That was the same era of like, wait, Ja Rule was dropping hit after hit at that time.
Yeah, but
nah.
I'd go as far to say that Nelly has some of Nelly's hits were just as big as Ja's though.
This is one of those things people do a lot in hip hop where people are like, oh, if this had happened, then I would have done this. It's like, well, you're talking about something that didn't actually happen, so there is no way for us to argue because it, you know what I mean? It's not like a case of, do you think this was right or wrong?
I think his point was more that, like, if we're looking at it from a UK point of view, that how London's the mecca for...
if he was in a mecca at the time.
Yes, because he was saying that because he was, like, living out in the countryside and whatever, that people kind of slept on him as, like, he wasn't even being put into the conversations of, oh, like, he's the greatest of this time period or whatever, just because of who was in, like, capitals and stuff.
That's an argument that Outkast used as well. And that, so it makes a lot of sense.
People used to say that Outkast were trash when they first came out. People just didn't understand the music.
So I guess it makes a bit of sense, but bruh, you can't skip past Outkast managed to do what they did. And be like, if I was here, I would have been better. Nah, we can't let that argument slide.
Well, that's what I'm going to be locked into tonight. I think if it's going off the same time as the Erykah Badu one, it's probably going to be about midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight until about 2 a.m. So I'm going to go to the shop. I'm going to get some plasters right there.
I need to see the strategy.
I've really got my basketball. I've already got my basketball jersey on.
I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna go wear 3X clothing. Get some Tim's on.
Yeah, to be honest,
jacket on.
I have no idea where this is gonna go because as soon as I hear Southern Hospitality come on, my mind's gonna change. So, that's gonna be a tough one.
Okay, I'm gonna be the one to bring it up.
I'm gonna be pub Gary for a minute and go grab my Stella for this because I'm ready to let it off my chest.
I have things to say. It's why I've kept the shades on this entire time. We're just leaving the stream. Fuck it, I might go get a beer. Actually, no, let me sit here. Everything AJ's about to say, I'm gonna argue against. Slopo might have some things that I'm gonna wanna say back. But I'm coming with the heat against AJ. I hope he can still hear me. Now I'm going to go get a beer.
I'm ready. I'm ready to blow off steam.
For the people listening after the fact, in case we didn't make it really obvious, we are recording this live. We live streamed it on Instagram. So anyone that was wondering why we sound far less organized than we normally would, you know why.
Hey, speak for yourself.
The entertainment of the people. We'll need to go.
All right, we've got 20 minutes to talk the biggest.
Well,
smack.
By my count, I've got 15 minutes before the Instagram live cuts, but we don't have to cut there for the recording. You're gonna have fun editing this one. How does it feel to be me? Sucks, doesn't it?
As you know, I've got like a shitload of interviews as well that I need to edit. Might just have to sit tomorrow and just go through all of them.
Editing day. Okay, we all have our beverages of choice.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about order number 69, teppanyaki 69.
I'm only calling him Daniel or any other insult I can think of.
Daniel... What are the names we got? Stupid clown head fuck.
King of New York.
Yeah, I'm using the name that he informed under.
King of New York.
Dude.
What?
I'm just trolling.
Woo! I missed the juice.
One of you have the comments up for this. In fact, I'm gonna get my feet on.
Right, before we actually start cussing him, I do wanna give him props that he is the king of the internet. Because he has to be king of the internet. I've not seen numbers like it. We saw Tory Lanez, probably the most entertaining person on live at the moment, do a whole campaign, quarantine radio, and didn't hit a fraction of the numbers.
Yeah, but do you know what it's like? It's like you ever like driving down the road and you see a horrific 6-car pile up on the side of the road. You rubberneck to take a look at it. You're like, it's the same thing. No one's watching it.
You're still watching.
I watched a little bit, and that was only because I'm like, fuck you, guy. What kind of dumb shit you're gonna say? How mad can you make me?
You're still watching.
Yeah, that's it. He was just there for the numbers. So I've got 2 points to make. One. It's so annoying that people turned up to it like it was fucking the first day of Coachella. If you looked at the comments, fucking everyone was there. People were like, oh yeah, Joe Budden, you good? Yeah, I'm good. People were having full meeting at a festival catch-ups in the comments while this guy chatted the most bullshit ever. And then a light bulb went off for me really early on. Really early on. This is when, like, whenever we see a fallout in hip-hop, it's usually either street shit that, like, falls into the mainstream, or it's someone falling out of hip-hop. So it's, like, two extremes. It is either, like, the East Coast-West Coast beef, or it's Ed Sheeran, get the fuck out of the culture for a sec. Yeah. It's, like, either extreme. But this is someone who infested into the culture. So think Ed Sheeran trying to start an East Coast, West Coast beef. That's what it is. And all we've done is, as a culture, we let the fight happen inside of the house. And then I think slowly now, the light bulb's going off like, wait, he's not even hip-hop, really. He's just...
Bro, when you look at the upside down of Drake. When you look at the fans that he's specifically targeting... He's not going for rap fans. Like, he's going for more the shock value, the kind of I don't give a fuck, I'll do whatever I want, which appeals to middle-class white kids in America.
Now, it's a shame that you've said that with what I'm about to say.
Go on. Speak your piece.
Okay. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean no harm with what I'm about to do. As far as it goes... Can't believe I'm about to do this. I've heard worse songs than the song than Gummo.
Oh, I'm not even listening to the song.
I've not listened to it, and I didn't watch his live.
Yeah, no.
I've heard worse songs.
Same.
I've heard worse songs. I've seen worse music videos.
Yes, we have.
And you know what? Like, he was doing the he was doing the thing that he does where he shouts, where he's like, "Are you stupid, dumb, or whatever?" That thing where he just like shouts a little bit. Then when he actually rapped, I've heard worse rappers who I like. Like,
Let's put it out there. He's not actually. Wait.
I don't like him. I don't think his music's good. This song, not awful. Like,
no, I'll give it back to myself
and go, why am I hating on it?
I will give it to him.
I was hating on it because it was him.
Yeah, but
it was
this is my issue though, because I don't like after everything that he's done, I don't like him because of that. But prior to all of this, we cannot deny that he was putting out good music in a sense of, when I say good music, it's good for a purpose.
It was doing what it was supposed to do.
It was good for being in the clubs. It was good just to get hype. And the songs were short enough. I think all of his songs were like 2 minutes long. So there was really quick songs. The structure of how they was made, it was kind of just so that it was repetitive. People could catch on to it really quickly. He knows how to make I don't want to say a good song, because it's not necessarily a good song. He knows how to make a successful song.
I've got one thing to say. Well, I've got two things to say. One of them is in your DMs right now. While I say my first point, just look at the thing I've just sent you all, and then I will explain that point. First point is, I think that he is doing all of this hype to try and... Like, he's made himself such an alien that he has to do all of this shit to... try and entertain. I feel like he couldn't do music without this. To him, like, can't do music without it. The fact that the scariest thing on his radar right now is 16-year-old white girls posting on Instagram where he lives, because he still does the stupid shit of pulling up with his Power Ranger cars, the different color cars.
I think music to him is a secondary thing.
The exact same thing.
Music's secondary to him. He doesn't, like, he's not an artist.
Music is the vehicle to him being.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like he could have blown up from fucking chatting shit, playing FIFA online, and if he'd got enough numbers, he would have ran with that. He's just gone with whatever he can make a lot of money from and be very popular.
Yeah.
So, and I also think
this is what made me mad about him in the very first place, is that whole sort of fake gangster shit that's ended up getting him in all the trouble that he's been in. And he actually
explains the link I've just sent you.
he actually explains the whole rap thing as well, like, in a weird kind of...
Yeah, that kind way. Of did makes... It, the way that he... I don't know whether he's...
Yeah, don't call me a rap, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt anyone, but fuck y'all, and, you know, like, I'm a... Like, it made no sense. But he addressed it, which is fair enough. Like, I expect him to sort of come out, say nothing, pretend it never happened.
No, because that's his whole spin on it. Like, have you not seen the massive posters that he's got up in New York?
Yeah.
You know, he came out and got a poster and billboard, like a billboard poster in Times Square. One, that's not being done on its own. That takes a lot of planning for people to get. That's like a life goal. Like a life landmark in quite a lot of musicians. I remember when Novelist got that in London.
Yeah.
Remember when Novelist got that poster in Regent Square? Remember when Stormzy was getting the posters? Remember when Skepta first got the big posters around the world outside of the UK? So, for one, that's going to take a lot of planning.
You can pay for anything, though.
That's true. Oh, it frustrates me that I think it's just like hip-hop is built on credibility, and it's terrifying to see something so close to the culture be so poisonous.
The thing is, it's always...
Shout out to Meek Mill.
It's always kind of like... It is just potentially the shock factor that everyone's locking into. No one actually really cares. Because think, when he was in prison, obviously we didn't... I'm not going to say that nobody was, because there was still a lot of people saying 369 can't wait for him to come out, but he's not had nowhere near the same loyalty that people have stood by with Bobby.
Bobby. I was just going
to say. It's so frustrating because the people who are supporting 6ix9ine are not going to be the people who are supporting Bobby. Straight off.
And the reasons behind it are different too. Like, the people supporting 6ix9ine are like, oh, this dude makes me laugh. He's a bit of a...
They like to see... It annoys me, but they're the people who I feel like to see something genuine that isn't for them. They're something the kind of like the hip-hop kind of culture.
They're the kind of people that will see someone get shot and video straight away.
World like, stuff. Yeah.
World stuff. Yeah. Good. Well put.
It is, that is his fan base. But there is enough people like that out there to make him mad successful.
To make it seem, yeah. Have you seen what Meek Mill has been talking about lately?
Yeah, Meek Mill's king.
Meek Mill is, yeah, Meek Mill's new king for me. Like, I've been a Meek Mill fan for a long time, as most people know. But how open and direct Meek has been about this whole situation is the energy we need to see. Props to Snoop Dogg for laughing it off.
If 6ix9ine keeps on poking at Snoop, we might see Snoop go back to his old ways.
Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Go on.
Has everyone seen the Just Eat advert?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's
it's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
I found it.
Again, let's not let it sleep.
I found that hilarious the timing placement for it. We literally just had Boris address the fucking nation about lockdown, and then straight after we had the polar opposite with Snoop doing a Just Eat ad.
I got a text off a couple of different people saying, oh my God, do not watch the Snoop Dogg advert. Like, we were hating on it. And then eventually it came on and I saw it and I was like, this is the best thing
How
ever.
Can you hate on someone? Of course,
Snoop can do no wrong.
Only exactly. Snoop could have done that. If any other legendary
Uncle Snoop can do no wrong.
Have done that. If that was fucking Dr. Dre.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, but it's but that's because it's so out of character for someone like Dre. We've seen Snoop do a lot of comedy things and a lot of things where that's he doesn't true. Take himself so seriously.
Yeah, that's what I think that's what I enjoy. But 6ix9ine, better forget, this guy also went through court and came out a true G. So it's frustrating that we're seeing him poke bears where he definitely shouldn't. He started trying to talk about the whole Drake and Meek thing when Meek spoke. But the energy that we're seeing from a lot of musicians is really stirring the negativity hip-hop has tried so hard to leave. Like, 21 Savage has started commenting, and I feel like that's a person that should not be agitated in any shape or form.
No.
21 Savage is a sleeping beast, we should leave that way. Let him release his music in peace.
I want to bring up the subject, though, because I feel like a lot of people are saying online that they wouldn't work with him. But I think we're gonna see a shock factor of some of our favorite hip hop artists that we wouldn't expect to be working with him just because the bag's so big and the numbers are there. Like,
I'm trying to think.
Like the whole thing with is it Rich the Kid that they're having beef with?
Rich the Kid beef
I can see this being manufactured into a number one record.
Do you know what? I feel like we're going to get more than that. Because he tried, by the way, this Goober thing, have you seen the beef he had with Billboard to spring it back?
Yeah, so this is what I was about to ask. Can somebody explain that to me? Because I didn't understand what the fuck he was talking about.
So I'm going to bring Russ into this as well, because Russ is a true G who deserves all accolades.
Just before you start, for the people watching on Instagram, we are only allowed to stream live for an hour. So we've got about 3 more minutes of live. I'm not going to bother putting the stream back up.
Let's just finish and then give us a countdown when we're there. So he was supposedly showing Billboard numbers and how Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber's song shot up like hundreds of thousands of songs within a 24-hour period after songs were submitted. And he was adamant that he was on track to get the number one song with this until the charts to him mysteriously adjusted in terms of like the placements and people submitting streams and whatnot. So he tried to play off that people are cheating and Billboard is lying and manufacturing and plugging things.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Billboard do openly push things and suppress things. Billboard are by no means tweeting out, here's Meek Mill's new song. There's a fun one. Billboard are by no means going, listen to Black's new album. But they will post stuff. Obviously, they posted, listen to Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande's new song because they're practically Disney princesses now. So he was angry that there's a whole streaming thing going on, but he's also the same person who I would not doubt that the engine behind him, because there's obviously a big ass engine behind him, is doing everything they can to work on streaming farms. I feel like the numbers we're seeing are 1,000% not genuine from him. And he's angry that he's trying to cheat the system and the system is cheating him back. I feel like that's what the anger is.
Yeah,
because this is... about the bundle too, like...
Well, just to add a point in as well, what did he say? Did he say he did 63 million streams or something on YouTube?
Yeah,
and when I don't watch the video, but I just went to go and check to see whether the numbers were correct at the time when I saw him say it. And I think it was something, I think it was at like 5 or 6 million. So it wasn't anywhere near. So I don't know how he's had that. But then you've got people like academics tweeting, saying, I've seen behind his account and these numbers are true and stuff like that. So I don't know. But you can pay for YouTube streams and shit like that.
Exactly. So I think he's paying for streams. He's trying to cheat the system. The same way he's gone out there and paid for a $50 bot, but the rest of the industry is using $200 bots.
Mm.
So he tried to play the system and he's angry that the system just outplayed him. And then on the flip side of that, the realist in the industry, we're not live on Instagram anymore.
Oh, we are. No, we're still live. Keep going.
Oh, phenomenal.
I have no idea what's going on, but we're still live.
Russ True G was like, inspirational purposes, fuck all of the mayhem going on. Russ has been indie for the longest, and he literally took a screenshot of his TuneCore account of his top two songs, Ain't Nobody Taking My Baby, released...
All right, now we're not live.
...time ago. And he literally has the number of streams and the dollar value he has made from his Instagram, just screenshot on his Instagram for... That's how you be a real one. He's like, fuck all of this. He said, she said, look, my numbers tell me this, but no one's saying anything.
This is also why like, people
look
hate
at my
us.
Numbers.
This is also That's why people hate true. Us, though.
Like, you cannot argue with the screenshot.
But you can.
No, you can't. You can easily be how can you argue with one song? How can you argue with one song?
No, I could.
Giving you 1.1 million.
I could easily screenshot something and change the numbers on Photoshop.
Yeah, people will call TuneCore on you, bro. People will pull out TuneCore because it's such a definitive source. Everyone in the music industry should know what that screen looks like. Yeah. So everyone will know. And if they like, oh, he's doctoring it, you're gonna have to be very brave in your position to go, that's doctored.
Yeah,
true. Say.
So like the fact that 6ix9ine was showing us little things and messages from his friends saying he had this numbers and Billboard suggested or Billboard projections and all of this shit. For me, it's like, oh, he's playing the system. He's plugging in streams from all of these different shitty side places. And then he's being caught out and he's angry because he wants to, I think he's trying to do like early Drake numbers, but he's just, because he's doing it so poorly. It's so poisonous. It's a bunch of kids. It's stream farms. Russ got accused of stream farms early in his career, which is why he does shit like this now.
Yeah.
I don't think we are ever going to see 6ix9ine take a screenshot. He doesn't own his music anyway, actually. That's a good point. Yeah. He doesn't own any of it. 6ix9ine doesn't own anything he does.
No.
That doesn't surprise me.
How does everyone feel about people defending him, being like, oh, but they did this to him, I would snitch as well.
Fuck him, the guy's an ass. He deserves
so, it. I love no his sympathy. Excuse for snitching.
Exactly, zero sympathies. The guy's a douche.
Exactly. His excuse for snitching is like, well, they wronged me, they did X, Y, and Z, so I don't owe them anything.
The bruh, if you did you wrong.
Exactly.
Jesus, you never saw that coming.
It's like...
The relationship started with, give me money, or else we're going to beat the flag off you.
Yeah, it's
that's
like,
how that relationship began.
It's like to be honest, I have no sympathy for him in that respect. It's like going and petting a lion and not expecting to get hurt.
Shout out Joey Exotic.
Shout out Carl.
It's just fucking ridiculous. And the fact that he's okay, like he can play it down and be like, look, I'm an internet troll, like I'm putting out hits on people, but it's not real. But when you're associated with real this gangsters that hear like, oh, what, I can go and make 50k for side.
You can pretend to be a gangster and that can be your shtick and you can make a whole joke out of it, or you be a gangster.
No, you can't. It's the boy that cried wolf story. You can't pretend, because if you pretend for so long, you're gonna be caught up in it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, either, like, make pretending your shtick and don't actually associate with them in real life.
No, but you can't, because you will always have to come to the point where you can't be, he can't be out here shouting Treyway and have no affiliation with them, because he will get bodied.
Yeah, all right. Fair
so,
enough.
Like, him in him having that protection, he's like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. But when you are putting hits out on people and, like, I don't know, someone mm-hmm. in the streets that is will do anything for that 10 grand or whatever, when you're saying, oh, I got a 50 grand hit out on someone's head.
Exactly.
You cannot expect that no one is going to try and well, do something like that, mm-hmm. because they're going to be like, my headphones went, they're going to be like, oh, okay, well, I know that this guy who he rolls with, he's serious about it. If he's rolling with them and I body them, I'm going to get that piece.
Exactly. And what frustrates me is the 180 and how he's such a victim in the 180. Like, he's moved house twice now since his release because two 16-year-old kids found his address. Like, we're talking about a person who's trying to be the biggest thug, the biggest whatever he's trying to be. And then if you compare him to other people who have been in... Not similar, because we haven't had anyone snitch or anyone behave like that in hip-hop, but anyone who's been criminalized and vilified in hip-hop, Suge Knights, Snoop early on, Pac, rest in peace, all of the people who have gone through that, who were able to still walk street,
yeah.
who are able to still be like, I'm here, this is where I am, pull up on your
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, 6ix9ine could never... Never.
Yeah, people who are able to do I mean, that. Lil Boosie, by the way. Look at Lil Boosie.
Of the amount of protection he's got at all times.
Exactly. Yeah. The fact that the police patrol the block that he's on, and that's how they had to move him out the second time. And he's whoever owns these houses that they're renting and moving into is banking. Because if I owned an Airbnb... One of these Airbnb managers, yeah, yeah. music videos, and I got a call from the police saying, yo, we need the house for witness protection. You know I'm hitting them with Uber surcharges.
Yeah.
Well, the Gummo music video, it turns out, like, the music, the whole thing, he's on house arrest. It was all done in his backyard.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But that's, someone owns that house, and it's not him.
I cringed a little bit in the music video when he flashed his ankle bracelet. I was like, haha, dick.
Can I just say, the last time we saw an ankle bracelet flash was Take-A, and he... Has bodies. Take it to the race while on the run from police.
I just hope that when Bobby comes out, that we see this kind of energy put into talking about 6ix9ine and the numbers.
Yeah, Bobby's going to be paraded like a king. Bobby is going to be paraded.
I want to see people on the street letting shots off in the air as he walks down the middle of the road.
Yo, I want Bobby to be.
It'll be carried out, like...
Yeah, I want Bobby to be, like, come straight out, straight to, like, I want to hear everything that's come out in the nicest way possible. I want Bobby to do exactly the way Meek Mill went, because Meek Mill hasn't lost any credibility.
Yeah,
Meek Mill went from riding bikes in Philly to, like, to hanging with Jay-Z.
But I feel like
Bobby will get way more of a presence.
Yeah, I feel like we could see that as well, because I feel like the people that have appreciated him at the point where we went into prison are going to be the same people that when he comes out are going to start giving hands of guidance.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
okay,
that's
look,
very
like,
true.
You can still be about your street shit, but just do it in a smart way.
There's a cleaner way of doing it.
Yeah,
yeah, because that's a smart gangster. That's a smart
gangster. Props, what's going to work in our favor as a trump card is he did that verse for 6ix9ine from jail. I hope he comes out and denounces all of that. He was like, yo, I need money on my books and a bitch paid.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean,
yeah.
At the time, that you can't even knock Bobby for doing that verse, because at that moment,
not at all, bro.
At that moment in time, it's like...
It's a fair check.
It's like, I will even say that at that moment in time when 6ix9ine was doing all of that, I was a fan of him. In a sense of like being a club DJ, his tracks banged. So I feel like when you're seeing that kind of reception, you're like, oh yeah, this track's all right. Like, it's not something that I would sit and listen to at home, but now that he's started doing this, he just loses all credibility on the character that we thought he was.
100%.
True story. Do you know what? I'm excited to see what happens. It's been an eye opener that 6ix9ine isn't hip hop, and I'm happy to say that. And it makes me more happy that he isn't hip hop, and we're not going to get some bullshit that we have to deal with as a culture because
I think
of
his genre is TikTok.
Wow, yo, I'm done with that.
That's gotta be that's gotta help be how we end.
Oh, cult time. That's big. Okay, TikTok.
I think his genre is TikTok.
I'm out.
Tweet out there.
Yo, that Stella's doing a madness on you.
I told you, BlackBerry today.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. For the people who watched live, thank you.
Have you hit the outro music yet?
We have now.
Hey. It's so hard being in the same room.
Exactly. I've been Lizzo Mazimba.
I've been BlackBerry.
BlackBerry out here.
I think we will live stream more recordings because why not? Engagement, right?
Well, I think we need to
people get
back,
to watch us.
I think we need to bring back the battles.
I think there's an opportunity for a Q&A kind of vibe, but watch this.
Okay.
I'm going to say the battles are coming. The battles are back next week.
Okay, I've said it. Energy's there. I'm ready. I've been doing my Googles.
Okay. All right, cool. Out.